how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
So before Ethan comes up and shares with us, I'm going to read the passage. And it's Luke 22, verses, I'm going to read from 23 to 27. Luke 22. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there also arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, that's Jesus, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you, but the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Amen. Let's pray for Ethan. Lord, thank you for these, Lord, amazing statements, Father, of a different kind of kingdom, Lord, than the one the world displays. And Lord, I pray that you just fill Ethan with your spirit as he shares, Lord. Give him your peace, Lord, and I pray that, Lord, from the word, Lord, there will be treasure and there will be anointing, Father, and that, Father, we will hear what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. It's great to be back. Back at 3T after an amazing revive. And 3T is as fun as ever and as crazy, but it's wonderful. Jesus is the one among us who serves. He was and he is to this day the one among us who serves. And who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I put that question there because that's what the disciples were disputing among themselves. Who is the greatest? Can we have the next slide? Amazing. And there were two words within that passage that I think stood out to me, and two groups of people that I wanted to talk a little bit about. See, it mentions the first word at the end of verse 25. It mentions the word benefactors. When I was reading this passage, I didn't really know what that meant. I wasn't really sure, so I looked it up. So benefactors were often wealthy people. They were often wealthy landowners and merchants. They were patrons of religious and civic institutions, so they gave money, that's what patrons means, to religious and civic, so kind of public public places for the public, for people. So they gave a lot of money. Often a lot of their money went to support the temple, went to the priests. So, yeah, so they were generous people, and they gave a lot of money. But I think it's important, even though that they were generous, even though these benefactors gave money into good things, they were planting into good things, Jesus isn't saying that they were the greatest. I think that's so important. But it's not the way with you. You don't have a lot of money, but that's okay. That's not what makes you the greatest. Second thing that stood out to me, second word was the youngest. And I thought also the youngest, being children, they don't have a lot of money. So why is Jesus saying that to be the greatest, we have to become the youngest? You see, in the ancient world, children held the lowest status in society. They were the lowest of all people, which is pretty sad. Made me sad, but it's true. See, in first century Israel, they didn't have their own right as children. Only really as their potential as future adults. So if you were a child as part of a wealthy family, you had a higher status. Or if you were part of some important family, you had that higher status as a child. And only because that's where your life was going. But for the children who weren't, they weren't seen as great at all. They were right at the bottom. But Jesus lifts children up. Next slide, please. Thank you. So we need to be like a child. Children are important to Jesus. And I've chosen this image because Jesus has got his arm round that child. And I know it's not the greatest image because it's quite Eurocentric and they all look European. But it was the best image I could find to illustrate what is going on there. Next slide, please. Mark 10, verse 13, 16 says, "They were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them." So Jesus blessed the children. Jesus blessed the children, the people within that society who are at the bottom. And he says, "This is your example. Come and be like a child who has nothing, who is at the bottom." Next slide, please. And I found this other verse from Matthew 18, verse 2 to 4. "And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Children were humble. Children, like I said before, they didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have status. They were humble. Yet Jesus says, become like children. Be humble. Don't worry about having a lot. Be like a child. I'll come to this in a second. This made me think of an example from my own life. So as some of you may know, I've just trained to become a teacher and I'll be starting my career in teaching in September. And I found that during my training, many children really like to be given a job. Often I find that children are really good servants and they love to serve, they love to help. I found they often jump at an opportunity with enthusiasm, not hesitating, but they want to help, even with the most mediocre, tedious jobs that are available. I even thought one of those would be pencil sharpening. And I've actually given that job to a couple of children in my class. And they go for it, and they're sharpening the pencils, and they love it. Yet it's the most boring thing ever. Yet they're doing it because they want to serve. They want to help their classmates. They want to be involved. They don't just want to sit back. They want responsibility. They love the trust that's put on them to do a job well. So we can move on. So Jesus is a servant in action. Just like children who take action, Jesus takes action. He is our example for service. And I've decided to I put that image up there because Superman, in a way, is like that. Superman takes action, and he is a proper servant. If you've watched any Superman films, he serves people, and he loves people, and he's sacrificial. He's ready for action. Next one, please. So I'm gonna read John 13, verse 1 to 17. So you can go to your Bibles if you'd like to. John 13, 1 to 17, Jesus girds himself with a towel. Are we there? Amazing. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Amazing. Amazing. So, I think the word that jumped out to me in that passage, amazing, I love it. In verse 4, it says that Jesus was girded with the towel. See, the meaning of the word girded is to fasten or secure clothing, usually with a belt or a sash. This symbolizes readiness, strength, or preparation for action. See, when Jesus girded himself with a towel, he was ready to serve and do the dirty work. You see, he did a job. He did this task that no respected adult would be expected to do during those times. No adult. That's why they questioned him, because it was out of the ordinary. And he did a dirty job. This king, this teacher, this leader. So when we're presented with an opportunity to serve in a way that might be hard or uncomfortable, or maybe it's out of your comfort zone, how ready do you feel to just do it? How ready are you anyway? Maybe you feel reluctant. Maybe you're reluctant, but even though you could do it, you know you could do it. His service is more than just a physical action. See, in verse 8, Peter said, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Peter might have thought, why is he saying, "You have no part with me? It's just washing my feet." But actually, there's more to it. Jesus knows there's things going on in their lives, and they need washing. They need his cleansing and his washing. And he knows that when he's crucified, that his blood is going to wash them clean. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, It says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." So we are justified through his Holy Spirit, through what he has done. It's more than just the action. During the rebuilding of the temple in Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, it says from verse 6, "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" I think it's really important that when we're serving, like I said, it's not just about the doing. We're not just doing it because it's a good thing. We need to be girded with the Holy Spirit. We've got his Holy Spirit. Let's be girded, just like Jesus girded himself with the towel. Let's be girded. Let's be ready for action with the Holy Spirit to serve each other. Amazing. Thank you, Stephen. He does it out of love. The intention of service is so important. John 15, verse 12 and 13 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." See, what was interesting, when I read these few verses, I really thought that the word love actually equals the word serve. And that these two words, love and serve, actually are interchangeable. "This is my commandment, that you serve one another just as I've served you. Greater service has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." We need to serve with love. And by serving, we're loving each other. We're loving each other. See, we don't just serve because it's a good thing. We serve because God loves, and he loves his creation. And through our service to each other, he wants us to become more like Jesus. He wants us to change and to start doing things not for ourselves, not to look good in front of other people, but to be like Jesus, to be humble, and to do it because God is pleased. God is pleased when we serve each other. Amazing. Thank you, Stephen. When I thought about love, I thought about the five love languages. They are acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, and receiving gifts. And I thought about how we all kind of lean towards different love languages. You know, we all are good at a few of them. Maybe one of them we're really good at, and maybe there's one that we're not so good at. Like, I really feel like receiving gifts is one of my weakest, personally, and quality time maybe is a stronger one for me. And so maybe for you, acts of service is not one of your strongest love languages. But despite that, we're still called to serve, each and every one of us. Whether serving is in our comfort zone, whether we like doing it or not, we're called to serve, we're called to love. I thought about, what is the greatest act of love? What is the greatest act of love, service, and sacrifice? Maybe you can think about just for a second what that might be. What might be the greatest act of love? It has to be Jesus dying on the cross. It has to be. And Jesus even said in Luke, "I am among you as the one who serves." And he knew what he had to do. He knew he was going to have to die. He knew he was going to have to do one last great act of service for humankind. I think it's amazing when you think about that. When you think about what the servant king did for us compared to our service, we can't even compare. So as we close, as we reflect and respond to those verses and what we've been thinking about, how could we give up time to serve people? How can we love and serve people around us? How can we be better servants? Maybe it's serving our local community. Maybe it's our church. Maybe it's your family. Maybe your friends. Maybe your colleagues. Maybe even people you don't get on with so well. Maybe even people that hate you or don't like you so much. How can you love them? How can you serve them? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are the servant king. Lord God, you gave your life and you died on the cross. You gave up everything, Lord Jesus, to see us washed, to see us cleansed. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for you, God. We're so thankful for what you did, how you loved children, Lord, how you served people, how you washed, you did the dirtiest jobs, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you continue to serve and love to this day. Lord, we're grateful for everything you do in our lives. You're so good, God. You're so good. You're our King. And Lord, I pray that as we follow you each day, make us into better servants for you. Make us into better lovers for you. Help us to love you in our service. Help us to love each other with our service to each other. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living